Hey guys, welcome back again to another episode of Litecoin Underground Podcast. This week we have in John Shave from Stack Mobile. If you didn't get a chance to see them at the Litecoin Summit, they did a presentation. John, we got to meet him, and his energy was awesome. You know, I think sometimes we get so kind of used to seeing the same people, and my energy gets down a little bit, but he was really excited to talk to at the summit. And, you know, I think that's just part of his personality, and his tag, I think, is Too Hyper Crypto on Twitter. So that might tell you something about him. So really wanted to explore his business with him. They've got a really cool offer out there. By the end of, I think he said early October, you sign up for Stack Mobile, you get 15% back in crypto payable in Litecoin. So as a user, if you're already using a mobile service and you got your phone and you want to save money on your cell service, you save by using Stack Mobile. And I don't know, I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's pretty cool they chose Litecoin. You know, I think the reason they chose Litecoin, we talk about it a little bit, is it's simple, it's fast, it's available to everybody, it's low cost. And so this is a way to really get people to start onboarding into Litecoin in a way that's a good thing for them. So if you own a small business or you have a family where you're paying the phone bill for all these people, 15% is not an insignificant amount of money. And he even says in here, it doesn't mean his plan is uncompetitive. He's going to be competitive on your regular plan plus the 15% off. So kind of cool. And I'm really going to be talking about them. I hopefully maybe do some more. I'm going to reach out to him, try and get some promotion going on with him too. But speaking of promotion, of course, I always have to mention Cake Wallet. They're the official wallet of the Litecoin Underground Podcast. They've been with us since the beginning. And like I always say, they're huge supporters of all the things going on in Litecoin. They're going to have MWeb here in the coming months. I would expect announcements soon. And overall, yeah, I think just you can do anything in there. You can buy, you can sell, you can trade, you can buy gift cards, you can use all these different assets, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Nano, Bitcoin Cash. I think they got Polygon in there. They've got, of course, Monero. I don't even think I mentioned Monero last week, but whatever. Anyway, go check them out. Download the app. Check out their website. See what kind of things you can buy inside there from your wallet. And yeah, keep stacking, and I'll see you next week. All right, well, today we're going to have in John Shave. He's the owner of Stack Mobile, I guess probably owner, CEO, who knows what other major titles you have for yourself. And we're just going to discuss Stack Mobile. If you guys don't know who Stack Mobile is, they came into the Litecoin Summit. I think they kind of took it by storm, if you ask me. The energy you guys had was awesome. John, we got to meet him, and I was just telling him, you know, Animal and I've mentioned this story to people in our spaces, but we met for the first time in person at the summit, and in our conversations, one of them was with John that just said to me, like, you know, this is a good angle to understand these crypto businesses and how businesses are taking advantage of crypto. Because I think the more that people hear the reasons why crypto is valuable to other businesses, they'll hopefully incorporate it to their business as well. So John, thank you for coming in. You know, do you want to, I think maybe a good first thing is just to briefly explain the nuts and bolts of Stack Mobile and what you guys have going on with Litecoin.
Well, thanks for inviting me on today, fellas. My background is telecommunications and technology, and I came up with the concept about 4.5 years ago. And which is where the impetus of the thought was that if I can correlate data consumption with cryptocurrency rewards, there could be a play there. And so, and I kicked around the idea of issuing my own crypto, and then I kind of got, you know, sidelined on that. And then the markets cooled down and cryptocurrency kind of went into that cold time. And then with the markets jamming back, I blew the dust off the folder in January. I said, this is the time to do it. So I went ahead and did some quick research, made some phone calls, talked to people. And the Litecoin Foundation was really solid in guiding me. And they're like, hey, it's a great idea. Why don't you issue Litecoin as a reward? And I said, wow, it's a pretty good idea. Thank you. So next thing you know, that was the genesis of the current form. And it really comes down to that. If you think about like mining cryptocurrency, it requires energy and processing. And if you think about when we're communicating on our mobile devices, is we're consuming data. So in a weird kind of way, if you talk on your phone and you use data, you're kind of like a miner. So right. I'm like, all right, so if you're going to consume data, let's issue cryptocurrency as reward for consuming data. So that's sort of like how this started from an idea standpoint. The way to go about that, it's not, it always sounds easier than it is, right? But there's quite a bit that goes into what we're doing. So Stack Mobile, the name comes from Stack Your Crypto Rewards. So mm-hmm. that's the genesis of the name. And then the second part of the vision is you've got to provide good phone service because it's not just a reward play. I mean, we have to be really good at have a 5G network that's large and fast. We have to be able to provide low touch, high quality customer service. And everyone's got to keep their number if they want, or we'll issue a new number. And if you want to keep your device, or we'll issue a new device. So we have to be really good at being the mobile carrier. And then the Litecoin aspect of it just really makes sense. The first time I purchased Litecoin was actually 2013 when I met Charlie Lee when he was at Coinbase. That's kind of another story, another project that I implemented Bitcoin into a mobile payment platform that we created. So it's always been in the back of my mind, Litecoin. So that's kind of how we started. The idea and where it came from, and then putting the numbers on into a financial model and selecting vendors, and next thing you know, we're going to be turning up customers here at the end of September or right around the first of October. But we're screaming to be turning up our live customers, so we're excited about that.
So what is it that cryptocurrency in general, I like what you're saying, kind of about like a proof of work or a proof of engagement as a rewards process. What is it about crypto that unlock for you or enable you to do that you couldn't do more conventionally?
Well, there's a couple thoughts that come to mind. First of all, reward points in their current form are basically devaluing, especially with the current environment, inflationary environment. So if you think about it, like an airline point, they're worth less and less, because prices go up and the points kind of stay static. So if you believe that, if you look at traditional assets, and we'll keep it simple in this one, but you think about like a reward point, it does not go up in value over time. And if you believe the narrative of cryptocurrency will appreciate in the long term, then to earn free cryptocurrency on your mobile phone usage is totally logical, because you can hold it or you can spend it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that just makes sense to me. So the crypto piece, the other aspect of it is you can do more with it, right? You've got control now of your reward, which is your currency.
Right.
Which it's makes sense. You can't really do much, right? With your other reward points, they sit in there and you get beat up when you try to use them, and it's confusing, and it just seems like kind of a pain. So why not just give the transparency of a reward that actually is useful and can be used for anything you want, a loaf of bread or, a trip to Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you said that you can also automatically deposit the rewards, right? So it's a process that could be automated, straight to your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. So there's a couple parts of the equation here that have to work right. And the first is, again, the singles and doubles of onboarding a consumer client or a business client, and we're putting some neat technologies in place around that and some AI intelligence to really improve that entire experience. But the crypto reward piece is pretty interesting. So in the example of a client, like, for example, my bill's $400 a month. And so I would pay my invoice, and then, and that triggers an identifying number, a percentage. So I've got four lines because I have for my children. And so I get 15% back. So when that invoice is paid, it triggers the number. And then that information is sent through an API link over to BitPay. And then they acquire the Litecoin, and it's transparent, and it's delivered immediately to the connected digital wallet. So how that works, so for hypothetically, if I have a Coinbase account and I can, then I link, you sign up for our service, right? You get an email, you open the email, and you link your Coinbase account to our treasury account, our treasury commercial digital wallet. And you may have to show your ID, right? One time, know your customer. That's everyone's got to play that game. And then you're linked for good. So the process is really frictionless. It's not painful. It's quick. And then you're off to the races. And every time you pay, you're in free crypto.
I'm assuming you have to, I mean, the funny thing about some of this KYC stuff is it's not like, you wouldn't have to know who I was to use your cell phone service, right? So it's kind of already, there's no real loss. I mean, it, you know what I mean? Sometimes people get worried about it if something's KYC, but the reality is you have to know who someone is so they pay their bill, right?
Right.
You can also send it to a BitPay wallet, right? Or if you
correct.
Had like a Lite wallet, it's pretty, it's not discriminating about where you're sending it, correct?
We just need your wallet address. And I just used that example because BitPay is a non-custodial wallet, and which means that you're responsible for your passwords and your phrase. Right. So I just used the other example, but we can link to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of wallets. I mean, pretty much any wallet we can link to. It's just, BitPay is just the immediate, it's just a connecting point to get you your crypto. And then from there, you're off to the races and do whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah. I was, you know, it's funny you were mentioning the points versus money. When I'm not as old school as you, 2013, but I was, 2016 is when I first started kind of getting into this, and the whole ICO craze came in 2017. I thought the most logical place for like rewards points to go is for them to issue their own coin, even, right? Because if I can, you know, earn airline miles, but I don't really like to fly that much, it'd be nice to be able to just go into a market and sell them, you know, and get it into something that I can actually use. So I always expected that to be the first place where like Burger King and Taco Bell were issuing their own tokens just to like, you know, make them interchangeable. It gives them a lot more utility in like timeshare points, that type of stuff, where they don't have a real market value because there's a ton of friction to getting those points. And I always thought that would be something that would come to pass. Maybe that's the next idea for you, John, just do timeshares and crypto.
You know, I thought a lot about it, going back to the whole ICO craze and that whole thing. And I think some of the challenges there is, liquidity. And I think some of the bigger companies, especially the public ones, they get nervous on that, issuing their own tokens and value and, you know, and perceived value. It does seem logical, right? That if you were, but then again, I mean, what do you call it? The burger coin?
Yeah,
well, Taco Bell coin. I got a Taco coin. And no, I see what you're saying. No, I think it's interesting because this is real thinking, right? And I think what it comes down to is from our standpoint is mobile phone service is real and Litecoin is real, right? So they're both, it's a win-win and it creates less headaches to then trying to create something that implodes in value and then people are upset with you. And you can think of like so many influencers that have tried to promote some of these ICOs and they really got egg on their shirt. And so for the Litecoin Foundation and for Litecoin Stack Mobile, Litecoin's real. And and it's fast. So I'd rather give a reward of crypto that's real, and nobody has reason to get mad at me because it works, and it's got long term value potential. So that's kind of the thought on that. So I went through the whole cycle on the ICO and my own token and that whole thing, and I just kept coming back to not that there's something wrong with it or other people can't make it successful. I just felt this was a safer bet.
Yeah, Litecoin's eternal, right? And that's the thing. It's not going to go anywhere, unlike 99% of the ICOs that came and went in the last 4 years.
Totally. Yeah. So it's just interesting, right? And people are excited about. It's interesting. Life is funny. What I tell people, I say, tell me I'm wrong on this project. Please tell me where do you see a challenge? And it's interesting because people love the concept. They love the idea. The only one legitimate objection that came up, I was playing pickleball with a woman from Seattle. And she says, I go, what do you think of the Stack Mobile? You get free Litecoin by paying your bill. She goes, it's great. Because, but the only issue is T-Mobile's not so good up where I used to live in Pacific Northwest. I said, well, they just acquired US Cellular. So they're going to expand their network and they're going to pick up some of those rural areas. So, but that was the only objection. And that's totally fair because, you can look at AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile. There are some really, really interesting things coming down the pike, guys, that I find extremely fascinating. And one of them is this discussion with Elon Musk and Starlink and the T-Mobile network. And so this is the thing that about mobility, which is interesting, is we have been stuck in the dark ages in mobility in this country. I mean, when I say dark ages, it's the dark ages. There's very few applications you can run on your mobile. I mean, now I'm not talking about the Google Play Store or the iPhone apps, but the actual mobility network is, think about it this way. Okay, I'll give you an example. So I used to own a telecommunications network based out of Chicago. And I was one of the first internet service providers in the US in 96. And we would start to sell internet T1s into businesses for about $2,600 a month. Now you can buy a gig for $50. And then all of a sudden, Level 3 started laying out this nationwide broadband network of fiber optic. Around 2000, the gates opened, and then you have data centers, you got software as a service, servers, you've got innovation, Amazon, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And so if you think back to that date, around 2000-ish, and how the world fundamentally changed with broadband, now we're moving into the next realm. And that's sort of also where the forward thinking comes in with Stack Mobile. So when we deployed our network and our platform, we invested in the latest and greatest technologies you can deploy today. And that will allow us to provide some innovative applications and streaming services and things like that as we start to move the company forward, going ahead next year and forward on. So how you interact with your mobile device is going to be very different in 5 years than it is today. It's not just going to be more apps on the phone. Because the wireless networks are starting to realize that there's price compression. I mean, every time you turn on any kind of medium, you're like, everyone's trying to give you this free, give that free, this free talk, free minutes, free this, free this, free this. So the carriers are trying to keep the prices, trying to buoy the prices. And right. and you they can only do that for so long. So what the reality that they're, I think they're facing is they have to open up their networks to companies like Stack Mobile and others to be able to provide more innovative solutions to maintain the capacity, excess capacity they have on their mobility networks. So think about it in terms of like that.
Is there caught like, because we talked about this a little bit. I don't know if you remember that conversation. We were kind of trying to understand how you acquire a certain part of the signal or whatever it is at T-Mobile. When T-Mobile puts up a top, or if a tower exists, right? I'm assuming there's various companies that are able to use those towers, and there's a certain amount of data and bandwidth that each tower can handle. Is there a cost per, I don't know, we'll call it like gigabyte of data that they're trying to say, if I have X amount, I've got to sell it. And my best thing is to have those towers as completely jam packed as possible. Is it kind of like there's a flat cost and it's like, you want to get as many users as possible, but it doesn't like scale up or down based on the amount of data flowing through those towers.
Yeah. I mean, so the question is, the first part is think of it this way, right? So if you look at a mobility wireless carrier, an MNO we call them, like for example, like an AT&T and Verizon or T-Mobile. So they own the spectrum, right? And they own the antennas that are on the towers. Because a lot of the towers are owned by a third party, like Crown Castle is one of them, because the carriers really don't want to own the real estate and they don't want to own the towers. They just want their antenna up there, right? Because they're really not in the real estate business.
Okay.
So to answer your question on the capacity issue, so I know that in the example of like a T-Mobile, there's a percentage of their network that is available to companies like mine. So we negotiate and we go into an agreement with them, but it's not like we're the last guy in line to get the bandwidth. I mean, you know, we've got guaranteed throughput on the mobility network, so we can provide unlimited data plans. We can provide lower data plans. We've got exactly the exact same access that everybody else has on that particular network, if you're a direct customer or if you're a Stack Mobile customer. But I just think I think they just make a decision that they've got some extra capacity, and they're gonna have companies like mine leverage their network. And then I pay per gigabyte. There's also, most people don't realize this, but in the mobility networks, there are minute costs that are absorbed. They're small, but there are, because when you take a phone call and you hand a phone call over from AT&T to Verizon, there's a cost in between that besides the cost of, to acquire the spectrum and the towers. There's actually handoffs at data centers, and it's fractions and fractions of pennies, but there is a true cost in there. And there's companies, that's all they do for a living, is they basically, they're like, almost like a meet me room, but they're really servers that hand phone calls off. So, but you get with Stack Mobile, you get the fastest 5G network, and our pricing is great too. So when I say we're going to give 15% of Litecoin rewards, we're not raising the prices 15% to give you 15%. I mean, we're going to go toe to toe with anybody on a competitive and transparent pricing. Cause you got to show up to the party, on equal footing. And then that's where we roll our sleeves up, and we give the crypto rewards. And we think we have better efficiencies with the latest technologies that we can afford to do that. And then the other cool thing about it is we're providing fiat currency to cryptocurrency offloading, right? So think about, like, in my example, I'll get $750 in free Litecoin a year. That's pretty compelling. Now, one could argue a family of four, if they took $7,500 in Litecoin over the course of 10 years, right? Let's say their kids are, you accumulate $750 per month for even 8 years. And then you would say, I'm going to use that for my kids at college education. Cause some people may not be ready to buy cryptocurrency. They want it. They want to get in the game. They just, they don't want to spend that $750. So we're like, hey, you don't have to. Just switch phone services to us, keep your phone number, and we'll get you turned on, and we'll fire you up with free Litecoin. And if you believe some of these interviews like with Michael Saylor and others. I mean, when you look at the value of cryptocurrency in the future and the value of your dollar, it's an absolute no-brainer to not, I mean, holding cash is the worst thing you can do on the planet. It just, it's so, right. it evaporates.
Well, it's just, it's even just engaging with it, like you said, on a fairly passive level, right? The reason I was asking about the bandwidth part is I was kind of interested in, it almost felt like animal, we were talking about drive chains last week. Like the goal is we have a limited amount of bandwidth or whatever that is, that fixed cost. And how do we maximize our user base, right? If I'm T-Mobile or I'm AT&T. And so finding, like you said, companies that are trying to be innovative and aggressive and acquire customers, it's very interesting to them, right? Because they're probably, like you said, they're a little, probably running out of ideas at some point. So they want totally. The innovation, right? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I don't know if you both would remember this, but back in like the early 2000s or even late 90s, Verizon had an app store, not an app store, but they had apps on the phone. And they were horrendous. And they just like buy movie tickets or something. It's just, I mean, this is pre-Apple. And it was just like, you know, big, giant phone companies aren't known for innovation. That's right. Kind of the fact, right? They provide the plumbing.
They're like utility. They're basically a utility, right?
They provide the plumbing, right? Yeah, they're a utility.
I want to ask you about your point of sale interface to that goal, right? You guys you're innovating, and I believe that you're not going to have storefronts, right?
Correct.
So how do we sell? A website? Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we sell? That's a great question. So thanks for asking that. Yeah, we forgot about the important thing. How are we going to sell those customers? No, it's really good. So we work with strategics, like the Litecoin Foundation is a strategic, BitPay is a strategic. There's others we're working with. And so we'll promote Stack Mobile through that ecosystem. And the consumer can easily sign up online when we launch our site. All the technology is already built. So it's really easy. You put your name in, put your phone number in, we port your number. That all happens very quickly. So you're not out of phone service for a day or anything like that. It's really all automated. And then your billing is through Stack Mobile and your service and support. The other way we're doing this is we work through influencers and we work through affiliates. So an affiliate that pushes us to their community, you know, we have an affiliate platform we use that we'll be able to track and pay. And the other way we're doing this too is I'm launching a multi-level marketing program for consumers. And we're gonna do part of this. We're gonna test part of this at a major university called the Ohio State University in Columbus. And what we're gonna do there is we're gonna pick a couple, you know, aggressive, hungry interns, and we're gonna start promoting Stack Mobile to the college campus environment. And what I tell people, they say, "What are you doing, Shave?" I said, "Well, I want to be the Red Bull of mobility and cryptocurrency rewards." Motorcycles and rock concerts. Let's go.
No, it's right. Smart, man. Cause like, you know, it's like, I, you know, cause Animal, like, you know, we were talking about it and he's like, yeah, I'll sign up right away. And I'll be straightforward with you. As far as the friction of me as a guy with a family, I got a cell phone for my daughter and my wife, but it's tied in with our cable. Right. So like, there's a lot more friction for me to change than someone who's single and young and they're all about crypto. And so that's definitely your target, right? But I just went and signed up for the mailing list here. It took all of about 3 seconds. Just so if anybody's curious, you just type your name, email address, and phone number, right?
Yeah, you go to www.stackmobile, StackMobile.com. You get $25 in free Litecoin when you go live. So we keep that list. We'll keep you in the loop on it. And we call that our early bird list. And people are signing up. They like it. So I think it's interesting. Yeah, when we talk about friction, you know what's also interesting is we're reaching, it seems like, another one of those points in innovation of mobile devices where they just kept pumping out new ones and new ones and new ones. And I've got this iPhone 14, which is fine. And I just had it replaced. I dropped my last one. I was on my jet ski and I dropped it in the.
Did it have all your crypto on it? The whole boating accident, is that what you're pulling out?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? People, you know, a lot of the crypto community, they, uh, they have separate phones just for their crypto. You know, there's a whole deal around security and all that. And, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, but when it comes to the mobile piece, I mean, the phones, I mean, more and more people, it just seems like when you talk to people, they're really not racing to buy the brand new phones all the time now. They just reached the point of hey, this thing does, it's pretty powerful and covers the bases. Getting your family together to switch, because I've tried to switch off. I'm on AT&T right now, and I can't wait to switch off. The service is really bad. The connectivity is bad. The service is bad, and it's really just getting four people to move, you know, off, and you know, and one's got to pay in their phone off still, and this one and the other, So that'll be one, you know, that'll be one little friction point that we'll start to make it exciting. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty impulsive. Heck, maybe I'll give you 20% if you switch, if you got four lines, who knows? Don't tell my CFO that.
I think you're right. Cause I got one of the minis. I'm like trying to be old school, but my wife had an iPhone 6 for like a decade. She's like, I don't know. It works. Why would I change my phone? So the big difference between you and like an AT&T, if AT&T does, here's a free phone, that entices a certain amount of people. But you're right. For the most part, people are like, look, I'm happy with my phone. I don't need to upgrade. I don't care about the cameras that much. I just want to have the cheapest service with good quality data. That's all. I mean, it's what people use them for. Right. Yeah, that's kind of to your point. We're moving past the giveaway free phones because the free phone ain't all that exciting anymore.
I mean, that's interesting too, right? Because the carriers have turned into like equipment providers, you know, because they can't innovate and they're so slow. The other interesting thing too is we provide connectivity for IoT and Apple Watches and any other device too. So we're not just stopping at a mobile device for a consumer. And we also have a commercial side of the business that we understand pretty well. So any vehicle that's got a SIM card in it, any truck that's being tracked, any asset that's being tracked, those guys are clients too for us too. So we don't just stop at consumer because we understand that business kind of as we kind of grew out of and kind of learned, cut our teeth in. So we do both the consumer and the business. So if you're a business owner, I'll give you an example. Here's a good example. So there's a client. He's got 1,000. The guy I know that's got 1,000 nurses in the field. They do home health care. And his bill is $75,000 a month. Okay. Because it's about $75 a tablet. And so when we go live, I'm going to bring that group over. And so what's the math on that? What's that's 75. That's
So 10,000 a month, something like that. So what's half of 7.5? 3.75. 11 and a quarter. Right?
75 times 12 is $900,000. That's his bill. No, that's not right. No, 70, you know, 75. Yeah.
Yeah, that's 75K. Right. That's right. Yeah, annually. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Times 12. Yeah. Okay. So do take that times 0.15. That's $135,000.
Right. That's an employee.
That's an owner. You know, that's like that's giving that dude $135,000 in Litecoin. That's some serious cake.
So yeah, well, that's I mentioned that before you came on, Animal. I was telling him, I'm like, the, you know, you see so many business owners who are small companies, and they use their company credit card for all this. They compile airline miles and they use it for travel or hotel rewards or whatever. Or like I'm in my job, I can expense things, but I can join these hotel programs when I do stay, and then personally I can use those points. Do you think that's a big arena that you'll see adoption?
You know, that's interesting, right? So the question is, will an employee,
an employer, right? So a guy like my dad has a small business. He might pay 6 cell phone bills and just see that as a way of, getting something back.
That's a good idea. You can do a couple things, right? With our platform, you can donate your reward to, I think there's 8 charities on BitPay, 8 or 10, American Cancer Society and a few others. Or so that question would be, that's a good thought though. So if you're an employer and you got this $135,000 in Litecoin, you can actually redistribute that. I know in the BitPay platform, they've got crypto reward cards. I think that it's going live again. They took it off for a little bit because they're upgrading it. So you'll be able to, you know, use it. I mean, there's many merchants. There are like all the big names we know. So that's utility. So now by switching to Stack Mobile, it's a good idea. I'm going to have to hire you guys, bring you guys in on my marketing team. I'm learning something.
Well, yeah. And I've even seen a lot where it'll be, hey, we have an annual Christmas party and they'll get rewards and kickbacks from different suppliers. Hey, you know, give us a rebate every year. And they use the rebates and whatever to try to get, you know, give gifts back to their employees at the Christmas party. You know, again, that there's probably some tax legality. I don't want to give any advisement to anybody about like where that money needs to go and what kind of trackability you want to have. But yeah, I just see that as something that to be able to take these rewards and actually turn them into real goods and not be like, hey, here's a gift card to Starbucks because that's my reward, or here's airline. I can't give airline miles to my employees, right? But I can give them these reward cards, or we can do donations for the company in the name of the company for tax rebates. So yeah, that's interesting. An interesting avenue, what you're talking about.
Good idea. No, I get it. Cause I used to throw a big holiday party for a couple hundred people at one of my companies years ago, and people look forward to it. It was had good music and it was always fun. And we had all kinds of fun stuff we would do there at that event. And then now when you think about it, that's a really good idea. And it's easy to do that. It's easy mm-hmm. for us to take that crypto reward and issue that reward into debit cards or reward cards, I should say, which are like a Visa basically. And you can go use them at those vendors, right? So I think the partner is one of the largest they're based out of Chicago, actually, I think it is. I can't remember the name, but that's good. Yeah. So now here we go again, right? So instead of just sticking with your old AT&T Verizon, come on over to Stack Mobile if you're a business owner. And if you don't want to hold the crypto, maybe take part of it for yourself if you're the owner, and maybe take the other percentage of it and have it chopped up into crypto gift cards and hand them out to people that are doing a good job. So now we just got everyone motivated at the company because they're going to get free crypto too.
Right.
I wonder if since you're going through the rewards path with crypto, if that's making your business model more feasible in this whole Operation Choke Point 2.0 environment that you have in the US. I know there's what's it called? Get Hedge, right? These guys, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they were providing some kind of a payment platform where you could have your paychecks deposited to your crypto account, right? They would take the cash,
yep.
do the transaction on their end, and then deposit it into your wallet. They were shut down because their banking was revoked, right? Their bank accounts were closed. They were debanked. And I'm wondering if you guys are avoiding this kind of regulatory overstep, right, by not transacting directly with it and with your business model and using it as a rewards platform.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I am familiar with those guys. And remember, keep in mind what's happening, right? We are acquiring the crypto and we're distributing it as a reward. And we're paid, you know, typically we're paid. We will accept crypto payments for our invoices. But the majority of them probably will come and they'll be fiat currency, right? And then we do the conversion there. That is interesting, though. When you think about the crypto space, you know, even no matter what level you are, when you dive into it and learn more about it, you know, whenever there's disruption and disintermediation, which is what you have a lot in the crypto space, right? It touches payments, it touches banking,
bankers,
it touches a lot. And they get fired up and they start, you know, winding up their
fighting back. Yeah,
they start winding up their power base, and I think that's where you start to see. And that's where there's been this kind of. I believe that there's been these oscillations and start and stops in the crypto space, where you've got, you know, market pullback because it's every state's different too. I don't know if you guys caught that interview with Ari Wu over at the Litecoin Foundation. She was really bright. And she had a great presentation, and she was talking about different states and the different regulations in each state. So it's like a mixed bag. You know, some say like Hawaii's not the best and New York's difficult. And Some others are easier with it, you know, depending on probably the powers that be in those states, or some are better at lobbying than others, and they have deeper pockets. So that's right. an interesting thought, though.
When you incorporated, did you seek out a state that was more, had more favorable regulations, or I guess had a better path?
Well, as a carrier, we have FCC approval in every state. So we, and with that, we have a presence in every state. But, you know, we don't see any issues with what we're doing. But you just have to be aware of what's going on in each state. Because again, you know, what we're doing is we're acquiring crypto, and we're giving you a reward for using our service, you know, and we don't seem to be crossing any lines there.
And yeah, you're keeping hands off. You're just letting BitPay handle all that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not touching any of the, right. Cause you know, there's regulation around, you know, as you know. And so we don't have to touch or worry about any of that. Just as long as you play by the rules of know your customer, and that's, everyone's got to play by that rule, and that's fine. And that's it. And the rest is, you know, provide a really good phone service. And then I'm hoping that as we start to get this thing moving and grow, and we start to get our brand out there, we start to have some fun, maybe with some events and some really cool things. I don't know. Maybe we'll have the stack game someday. You know, we'll put you guys on some snowboards and put you in the tunnel out in Vail.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, if, something that was, I think is kind of interesting. We were theorizing at the summit. We were like, why Litecoin? Like, to be honest with you, you know, if you go, hey, Bitcoin's down the road, there's 20,000 people at that summit, and there's 300 to 500 at the Litecoin summit. And, you know, this is something that I've talked a lot about in our Twitter spaces. If you don't know, I do one every week, John. So we've been talking about crypto. We get pretty in the weeds. And I've always felt that, you know, if a business is trying to dip their toe into the crypto world, they're going to go to places like BitPay and go, okay, well, who uses crypto, right? What are the communities that you actually have traction with? So like one of those, obviously us being the top coin on BitPay is a big reason for that. But the other is that it's very accessible. So you know that if anybody has a Venmo or PayPal in their pocket, they can receive Litecoin. You know that your fees to send aren't going to be suddenly $10 that you're going to be suddenly basically taxed with an extra $10 that you got to pay every month because it's going through Bitcoin or Ethereum. And so it's kind of this, I think a business term is the Goldilocks zone. I don't know if that's, or maybe that's a technical term, but you know, you have the accessibility, the low fees, and that everybody already has a wallet in their pocket, even if they don't even know it. If they have Venmo or PayPal, they can receive these payments and easily convert them to dollars if they wanted to, right? But is that some of the reasoning behind why you chose Litecoin versus saying I'm going for, because you know, obviously, look, we understand Bitcoin's the big name in the room and has the most marketing heat. But was it kind of impractical to use Bitcoin?
No, we can offer actually Bitcoin too with our product. And, but we've made the decision that at this stage in the company that it's our strategic partnership with these guys. We like them. We want to support them. And, you know, sometimes you gotta pick your partners, people you want to work with. And David's been cool over there. Low key dude, you know, takes my calls at all kinds of crazy hours. Wife probably doesn't like me very much. Who's that shave guy calling again at 11:30 at night? No, she doesn't say that.
The energy differential between you and David is pretty extreme.
Yeah, it balances out. Yeah, it's like this. It's like a teeter totter, you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I think that getting back to my original thought process, right, fellas? At the end of the day, what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to provide a quality mobile phone service at good pricing and provide utility into cryptocurrency. And it can't be all things to all people. Litecoin's fast. Litecoin's less expensive for transactions. It's widely adopted. And it's just that's sort of the deal. You can't be all things to all people, because then you end up being, you know, you end up not really delivering to anybody. is what I figured in my life. I've learned that, you know, try to take off too much. And the next thing you know, you're not really good at anything. So I think we'd rather be, this is, you know, it's innovative stuff we're doing. I'd rather do it right. And I'd rather make sure that I'm delivering on the mobile service with nines and delivering what I promised I'm going to give people. And it just makes life easier.
Yeah. You're not in the business of, you're in the phone business, right? Just like the utility providers, they're in the utility business. Sometimes you don't want to get too, too outside your comfort zone or what you're intended to do. Do well what you do.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the whole token thing we talk about in ICO. And I know a lot about it. I mean, a lot of those early guys were right out of Chicago, and you know, a lot of them got some headaches in their hands and still have some headaches in their hands for that whole dynamic. So, you know, and there's a little bit of greed factor over there with the ICO stuff too. You got to be careful of that too. So you just got to, you know, like I said, we're in the telecom business. That's what we do. And we just want to be the best that we can be. And at that, and I'm trying to have fun. It's been a lot of work. We're probably working 18 hour days for about the last 6 months. I work 7 days a week. It's like, what do you do for 7 days a week? Well, there's a whole big long list, you know?
Yeah. I think what you're doing is a big deal, honestly, because like you said, you've accepted, you've said to yourself, you know, I'm not the ICO. Yeah. Could you go do that? Could maybe that be an income revenue? It's not something that you probably see as, it's not long-term sustainable, right? You're more, let's use this as a tool. And that's what I'm hoping we get to in crypto in general, is people start to look at these worldwide payment networks, these decentralized systems where it's agnostic to me. I'm using it as a backbone to do something else in my business. And that, so there's value to you that comes from beyond just I'm playing the value of a token, or I'm trying to pump a token price. This provides my business with a tool that I have difficulty doing otherwise. You paying out every person into their own bank account around the country would be an enormous undertaking, but you can just say, hey, just drop me your address and I can do it. And you can totally do it whenever you want. You can send it to your kids in college. And like, I don't care where it goes. You get to choose. That's something you can't do.
That's interesting. That's a topic, right? When you think about the traditional banking, something as simple as exactly what you just said, if I wanted to give you your reward back in fiat currency, I mean, it would be painful. So, but to do it with the way we've engineered this, we can efficiently and cost effectively and transparently deliver the reward to the wallet. And that's exciting, because now we're able to, you know, again, we can get people in the game, or we're just going to give you free crypto for doing the stuff you're already doing today. Yeah. Every gigabyte, we got to get you guys off your phone service and get you over Stack Mobile. You know, Shaver, maybe we got a special Shaver deal. As we start inching closer, maybe I'll come up with something real exciting for you to get you to jump off those old stale networks you're using.
Yeah. That's great. Do you have any questions, Ian? Well, I got others, but I feel like I'm dominating a bit too much.
No, here. No.
I got a handful of questions. All right. Well, you alluded to this earlier with your comment about Elon Musk and I guess Starlink. But where do you see the industry evolving in the next 5 to 10 years? And how do you? I guess you're already lining yourself up to be part of that, right? I'm just curious as to any insights you can provide.
I know quite a bit about the regulatory environment in the telecom industry, and you know, a lot of it depends on who's in the White House, believe it or not. FCC. Absolutely. You know, right. So I could tell you that, like, in that example of Musk, I mean, you know, depending on who's in the White House, that's either gonna really skate through, or it's gonna turn into a boxing match. That's just my personal opinion. So, but I think if we just allow, one of the things that Musk said recently, and I really appreciated it, is that we need less government regulation. I mean, like, you go back to like Ronald Reagan and deregulating the airlines. You guys don't know this, you're younger, but you know, airlines were painful and expensive. Long distance phone service, it was like 45 cents a minute to call from Columbus, Ohio to San Francisco. I mean, it's just goofy. And then so the Bell system broke down, and then that ultimately led us to ultimately competition, and then ultimately broadband. You know,
right.
So I think that in the wireless industry, I know that like Dish Network bought a bunch of spectrum up, but they've got a certain timeline. I think they're racing to get towers up and get their network up. Starlink is a really interesting one when you think about it. That it's almost like, you know, in a weird kind of way, it's decentralization of mobile data. Because right when I say decentralization, right, you have all these satellites up there, they're all popping around, boom, right. And down here on Earth, you got data centers that are physically connected that aren't bouncing around. So in a weird kind of way, the Starlink almost is like a DeFi, decentralization type of a strategy. But and then the electronics tend to get better. Like right. I used to own fiber optic, you know, and networks. And it was like the glass stayed the same, but the electronics kept getting better and better and better exponentially.
Yeah. No, you're saying about the government being, expanding, if you compare it just your business model, right, where you're kind of revolutionizing telecom by getting rid of storefronts, I mean, that's something that happened naturally as technology evolved, as the stack evolved, the stack improved. How much, like, and I mean, you probably can't tell me, but it's just like, this is a rhetorical question, but imagine how much government can be shaved off. If we just leverage the technology that we already have, like how many storefronts, the license bureau, how many things that people, need to be staffing, right? How much waste there is given the technology that we have today is still in place, grandfathered in, and never cut. You know, we're going through a recession here. Many companies are doing layoffs. No such layoffs are happening in the government. It's always N plus one. Yeah, I mean, the people that are now in charge of the government, the president, I want to say the Democrats, they're making it hard for crypto businesses. They hate it. A lot of that is they have bills to pay too, and they can't cut, so they need to keep pleasing their sponsors, right? I have another.
Yeah, well, let me throw more piece on that. Just to think about whenever there's when you see like some consternation or some sort of a impasse in anything, big businesses, or regulatory, there's typically if you peel the onion back a little bit, like people talk about net neutrality and they think net neutrality is good. I mean, at the end of the day, the fact is that the big carriers like AT&T and Verizon, now I'm not talking mobile, I'm talking wireline now, and Comcast, they want to be able to regulate the packets on their network, which means that if you don't use Comcast for service, they're going to slow down your Netflix. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to use Comcast for your voice over IP phone service and you're using Ring Central, they're going to slow down those packets. That's why the scary thing about it is these big companies have so much money and they have so many lobbyists and they're so good at it that they basically can slow everything down. And that's what's happened in the crypto space. When you start really digging around the corners and peeling back the onion, there's companies that are disrupted or potentially can be disrupted. And then the big incumbents start throwing their weight around and their big bucks and their lobbyists. And it just creates like what happened to the gentleman you were talking about. That got debanked. That's what that's all about. It's really kind of sad. Yes, but a lot of people are just confused.
Yeah,
people are confused too. People get confused. Crypto is still confusing to a lot of people. I try to explain that. I was talking to an older neighbor of mine yesterday, and he shaked his head like he understood what I was talking about. And I'm like, no, here, you gotta watch this. Here, I'm gonna send this to you. Here, I'm gonna send this video to you. Oh, okay, I'll do that. All right. You got to keep evangelizing and explaining to people. And I think that gets back to that point about why we were using Litecoin is I'd rather provide a reward of something that's real, that's mm-hmm. dependable, reliable, as opposed to trying to get cute and just kind of makes it easier. There's enough going on without trying to recreate the wheel at this point in time.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was saying to you earlier when about kind of incorporating crypto. And one of the things I thought, like I said, when Animal and I were in Nashville, I started thinking, I wanted to get back into this. And I'm like, what's a good angle? What's something different? And after talking to you, I was thinking, yeah, businesses is interesting. And the reason I think it's interesting is because a lot of people don't understand crypto. And so for them to understand why you would use crypto beyond just like maybe a marketing reason or whatever, and understand, okay, wow, the payouts they can do differently, right? Maybe that rings up, that hits something with them. They go, oh, okay, now I kind of understand the value of having this kind of agnostic, decentralized ledger that I can access 24/7 to anybody in the world. What door does that open up for my business? Right. Or maybe it's not your business. We talk to another business owner. Oh, I didn't realize I could track the payments. I didn't realize the value of having a transparent ledger, right? So I'm hoping that over time it doesn't translate to people, because all that's been talked about has been, where's the price going to go? Is it going to, you know, it's been this huge speculative thing, and no one's actually talking about the utility that these things provide. And,
right.
and that's what I'm hoping we're turning over, to hear someone like you say, I don't want to do it with my own token. I'd rather just run a business. That's what I hope we get to in the next 5 to 10 years here.
So that's interesting. Hey guys, that's interesting, right? So you meet so many interesting people when you go to those events, right? And it's like, you gotta, like, it's so tempting, right, to get pulled into the oscillations of value and the greed of, I'm gonna, you know, get the next Bitcoin. But really, if you take a step back and just look at, I think Johnny Kim, I think, was the guy that said at the event, I thought it was pretty interesting. He made me laugh. He says, you know, you got to look at it as like, it's like a permanent fixture in your life, right? You can't get obsessed with the oscillations and value of it. But there's an interesting document. I'm going to email it to you guys after, on blockchain technologies per state. It was put together by Ari Wu, the woman I spoke earlier of. And I thought it was really fascinating. And it talks about the blockchain technologies per state and the investment money that went into it and what they are. Like, for example, Nashville is the biggest recipient of investment around blockchain technologies for healthcare, which makes sense, right? It's a big healthcare state. And then, you know, Miami is a huge one. Obviously now Miami's, you know, big financial. So when you take a step back, I think that might be an interesting exercise for you to kind of look at that. I think you'll enjoy this document. I requested it from her. She sent it to me, and I'll share it with you. That it kind of just opens your mind up that you're right. Crypto has gotten everyone's interest, especially with Bitcoin being over $1 trillion in value. But the blockchain technologies and where they're going to change our life and how we do business are huge. Web 3.0.
Yeah. Right? I mean, inventory management systems and like logistics of, you know, someone like FedEx. I mean, they have their own internal systems. That's the difficult part. It's like sometimes you want things to be private, but what are the things that maybe companies can offload managing certain pieces of data or information that they don't want to have to deal with anymore, that they can just use the blockchain as a permanent record that they get to access whenever they want. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I know what that is. I know there's somebody out there that, you know, it's almost like this drive chain conversation. Can they have their own network that pings in or imprints a hash somewhere on the blockchain to flash like a state of things? Maybe it's balances or paychecks or payroll, something like that as well. So I'm not a technical guy. That's that's all beyond me, but I know that there's some value there, and I'm waiting to see businesses unlock it. And so that's why I think it's cool what you're doing.
It's happening fast. Right. Animal, what else do you have? You had a couple more questions. Sorry about that. I got an answer.
Yeah, I got a technical question and then a more business, evolution question. So technical one thing that crypto people are really concerned about is security and privacy. And a lot of hacks have been happening in the past, and a lot of them have had to do with SIM swapping, right? An attacker using some social engineering, calling, you know, Rogers or whatever, and pretending to be the person and having them transfer the SIM to them, right? And then using that ability, I guess, to receive SMS messages to get into their accounts or Twitter accounts or Coinbase accounts with 2FA, right? How does Stax, I guess, forward facing their front end help prevent that, right? I know that you guys, well, I don't know, but I'm assuming that you're going to have everything done through the front end website, maybe even through email or Facebook Messenger or something. Like, you're not going to have people answering the phones, calling.
So to be clear on the SIM swapping, right? Or like SIM hijacking, right? It's a form of identity theft. The attackers can gather like personal information. They contact the carrier, posing as the legitimate owner. I think, I don't know if you fellas heard about the young kid. He was a high school kid, and he got into a wealthy New York financier's phone, and he stole like $30 or $50 million worth of Bitcoin. Okay. He contacted the carrier and was able to get access to the phone. So the kid was like bought a Ferrari in high school. You think something's wrong? Like, hey, Junior, why is Junior driving the $400,000 car in the driveway?
Myers should pick up on that, eh?
Do you remember that? Yeah, it's a crazy story. That's kind of an example of this. So a couple of ways that, you know, just for the audience, right? People, they receive SMS and two-factor authentication codes, and they reset the passwords on the phone. So in this example, the person being frauded, you know, loses access to their phone and whatever's on there. So, I think as your question, what are we going to do to prevent that, or how are we going to,
so when there's a switchover, so let's say I sign up to Stack, what's the process? Do I have to go to a T-Mobile store? Do you send me,
no,
I think that's what I'm able to say, no. Do you send me a SIM card? And that's what I think he's wondering. There's a bit of a trust factor there that you're sending me a SIM card.
Well, there are a couple things that happen. We do SIM and eSIM, right? Mm. So, you know, okay. eSIM is where we would activate the eSIM on the phone. Right. So from a standpoint of the onboarding process, where it's a new device or a new SIM, the account would be activated. If it was an already an active account, the order would be created for the SIM, and then the SIM would be identified in the system. At that point in time, it would be sent through fulfillment, through our fulfillment center. And that group's out of LA for now. And then when the consumer gets the SIM, at that point in time, then we have a secure validation process to ultimately activate the SIM. I think you've got to be careful of, you know, just in general, that's where I think the hardcore crypto community people have a separate phone just for their crypto that they use for their trading or their accounts. Fraudsters and cyber thieves are creative. And we're just going to have to keep an eye on it and be careful, you know, because that what we just walked through, I don't know if that really answers the question, but it's certainly, you know.
I mean, there's an engagement with the company. You know, I get my SIM card, I call a 1-800 number or something, and so that way I know it's not somebody calling me or I know I'm reaching and talking to the right people to get that set up.
Or it'd be all web-based. Is that like you need to sign into like a web interface? You go to your account and then manage your plans and your add-ons or whatever through it, your rewards, all through that one interface, right? And I guess the security of that interface, your login has a lot to do with how people, like, so if people lose their password, is there like a 2FA?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it. Yeah. So, The you got to think about it this way: is your it's like if you have any other carrier, right? You have an account, that's how you manage your everything from paying your bill to monitoring your invoicing is correct, or even adding a phone or a new, right? Yeah. So two-factor authentication, absolutely. And I think education is important too. Always try to keep the consumers educated of where they can be potentially frauded. But that's a really good point. And I think that, you know, we're going to have the best, you know, our platform's out of Sweden. So these guys are about 10 years ahead of us. So, you know, they're, you know, from, you look at America, the USA, you know, mobility experience, and you look at, you know, Northern Europe and that and so forth. And they're just like way ahead of us. So when it comes to security and data privacy and all that kind of fun stuff, they just seem to be more evolved than we are. And that right. There could be several reasons for that. You know, the big oligopolies here in this country, you know, they wanted to keep it like, you know, no one's gonna upset the apple cart, right?
Mm-hmm. They want to keep everyone dumb, their consumers paying out the nose. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with T-Mobile was really the one to kind of break the mold there when they came in and they said, hey, we're going to start, you know, you remember Virgin, Richard Branson. Vaguely, he was the first big MVNO, with T-Mobile. And so that was sort of like, you know, because, you know, to be honest, it's kind of like an oligopoly. It's pretty much what it is.
The first outside competition. Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, that's the thing, that it's a utility. It's almost like with the social media companies. Like, at what point do they become the town hall? And should they be like, it should just be a blank platform. So there's two different views. And I think what's interesting, I think what Elon's done is similar on both fronts, where he's maybe not in a perfect way, but the conversations being presented of what right do I have to build what I want to build? How much regulation should be on these quote unquote utilities? How much control should small businesses have? How much regulation from the government? And so, it's interesting to hear what you're saying about Starlink, because I do find that to be, it's out like in international waters, right? Essentially, they're in space. So, like, how do you stop this? And that's good. Just like Bitcoin and Litecoin, they're these international, they don't have a living space.
So the funny part about this,
down, right?
You know, it's funny about that Starlink thing. You might pull your hair out. But it's like there was already talk, like the big carriers, AT&T and Verizon, saying like it's going to hurt competition. It's like, no, it's not going to hurt competition. It's going to bring more consumer choices and more features and more functionality. But it's like you could sit there, you know, you get two big monopolists in a room, and they're just going to look at you and they're not going to smile, and they're saying, no, it's going to hurt competition. It's this. But at the end of the day, you just got to shake your head and say,
yeah,
you know, that's not really true.
Yeah,
like, we don't want to compete. Yeah. Be ridiculous. I'll be ridiculous.
I mean, yeah.
Well, maybe Space Force wasn't such a coincidence then, huh? Maybe Trump creating Space Force has more to do with stopping.
I find it is interesting though, how, when you look at this stuff in innovation. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think, you know, typically big government doesn't really do anything right. They're typically they just slow things down and infringe on you know, innovation and so forth. And I think that's been proven. That's just my opinion. But, you know, the bigger the government gets, the less we get innovation, you know, because the big companies start figuring out how to keep themselves in power. If they can keep themselves in power, they can keep the status quo. You know, why rock the apple cart when the margins are fat? You know, why let innovation happen?
John, you sound like you belong in our Wednesday spaces we do, because this is exactly what, and I could sit here and go down a road, but I don't want to take too much of your time. So
I've enjoyed the time with you guys.
Yeah.
You guys have any other questions for me?
I've got one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have a moment. So right now you guys are US only, September, October. Do you have plans for maybe Canada or Europe in the future?
We do. So here's this. Okay. So we've already had discussions about this. So, we have acquired technology that we can expand to 60 countries. And Canada being one of them. So Northern Europe seems logical. I know there's been quite a bit of interest from Canada. So, you know, what I thought was interesting is Canada is the second, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, Canada is the second largest in Litecoin transactions.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. We've got a big Litecoin with BitPay, but I know even back in the day when there was a Bitcoin, Bitcoin miners, there's a lot of them in Canada, ever since the beginning. It was, I believe, China, then US, then Canada for a while, mining the most Bitcoin. This is like back before 2017. I'm not sure what that looks like now. I know for sure Canada, we do have a lot of renewable energy, and affordable energy. We have some of the lowest, cost per kilowatt hour, thanks to hydroelectricity. So yeah, like there's a lot of incentive for miners and mining to happen here. And as a result, a lot of, home gamers got into it. Right. And a lot of people are holding crypto, a disproportionate amount, I would say. Yeah.
I believe that. There's a friend of mine who's got a tenant up in the west of the US, and they have it's a coal fired electric utility. And so with the utilities, right, if you do not allow competition in your domain as a power company, then you must sell your excess capacity at tariff rates, so you don't make as much money, right? But if you open it up to competition, then you can sell your excess capacity at market rates. So it's kind of like there's different debates on which one makes more sense for the company. But these guys have the coal power plant, and they've got a huge Bitcoin mining operation because they are using their excess capacity instead of selling it, right? Which has to be sold at, I think, at the tariff rates. They're like, why would we do that? Let's just pump it over here to this big data center and let's keep pumping out cryptocurrency. That's one of the ways that it can be done. But there's all kinds of energy being sapped in ways that maybe we don't even know about. They're just keeping their mouth quiet about it. I don't know.
Well, they're probably doing some Litecoin mining too, Litecoin and Doge.
But totally.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good. So go, check it out, guys. Go to stackmobile.com. It's just like what it sounds like, stackmobile.com. I just signed up. It takes about literally 10 seconds, and then they'll, I'm assuming in whatever, a month or two when you guys are launched, you're going to have send out an email and.
Yeah, you'll get a communication. We send out regular communication on that early bird list. So yeah, get excited. $25 in free Litecoin from John T. Shave. And, get on the Stack Mobile train and get fired up, earn free crypto, get great service.
All right. Thanks, John.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, guys.